And I had to think very quickly, and I said that because these were authorised for the export market, they'd been stamped, made in Greece, before they left. But I promise you, I have not lied in any of these lectures, and I will never lie in another lecture again as a result of being caught by that kid. These courts were considered the centre of the democracy, and it is very clear, for example, from Aristophanes' plays, particularly The Wasps, that the people who served on these juries felt that they represented and, in fact, embodied the power of the Athenian democracy. Now, in fact, they were actually paid a very small stipend, only 3 obols a day. That's only half the amount that a skilled worker could get. So it's probably the case that many people who are old, retired, too old to work, had no small business of their own, would spend the day at the court getting their state stipend, if you will, by serving on these juries. But they were very proud of this, and this remained central to the Athenian conception of their democracy throughout their history. There were a number of other political institutions in Athens that reinforced the democratic spirit. The democratic spirit was not separate from the rest of an individual's social life, and instead the democracy and the public life was only one expression of this greater democratic feeling. For example, the military organisation of Athens mimicked the same tribal assemblies of the political life, so that the military regiments were raised on a tribal basis. And in the theatre, men tended to sit with their tribal brothers as well. So that in politics, at the theatre, on campaign in the army, the same units of social life and organisation are being repeated again and again. Together, what these units do, these institutions, the army, the democracy and so forth, what they do is they reinforce the notion of the exclusivity of the Athenian democracy. If you're in that club, then you're at the assembly with your friends, and you're in the army with your friends, and you're at the theatre with your friends. Now, a great many people, in pointing out this aspect of the Athenian democracy in recent years, have argued that this kind of exclusivity can only exist if there are a number of people who, by definition, are not part of the club. Women are not in the club. They can't be voting citizens. Slaves certainly cannot be. And there are a great many allies outside of Athens who make this possible, and there are a great many foreigners living in Athens, metics, who make it possible. And so there has been a tendency in recent years to emphasise the exclusivity of the Athenian democracy and to play it down, as it were, as a kind of club. I think that it's very important, if we're going to try to sum up the Athenian democracy, to try to work out what we think about it, that we should follow the advice of George Bernard Shaw, who once said that every man deserves to be judged in the context of his own times. And I put it to you, if we're going to judge the Athenian democracy, let's judge it in the context of its times. What shall we compare it to? To Sparta, where the exclusive group of homoioi, Spartiate citizens at the top of society, was even smaller than this? To Persia, where authority finally lay in the hands of a single, all-powerful Achaemenid king whose authority was confirmed by Uhura Mazda? To Macedon, where local barons vied for power with each other over their mountain clans? I think that it is a little unfair to castigate the Athenians for having a democracy that did not embrace every human being living in Athenian society. Rather, I would say that in the context of its own times, judged against the standards and the experiences of the ancient world, it remains true that the Athenian democracy was quite simply the most extraordinary achievement of ancient Greek civilization.